are not ashamed that we're taking so long foot, because we told you that from the very beginning. We'll do start on chapter 4 hopefully next week, and then when we'll go finish it, we'll go to Ephesians. And some of this will be repeats. But these are the epistles shows us how to live. Tom, I think Rick needs one. All right. That, yeah, of course, it's not discouraging to me. It's all right. I understand. I understand completely. All right, is everybody all right? Sure. Everybody got something to look at? We're going to look at our Bible. Well, how many needs a Bible? Anybody need a Bible? Maybe we'll start there. Who needs a Bible? All right. Yeah. But you ought to bring Bible. You ought to bring your Bible to church. All right. All right. We better pray. Father, we come tonight. You are wonderful. Lord, we're not. Lord, we fail. And I'm glad that we even preach Sunday. You remember we're but dust. And Lord, if it's going to be up to us to make it. Lord, if we can save ourselves, we never get saved. And then, Lord, if we had to keep ourselves, everybody here would lose it and assume we got it. Lord, we got to have you. We just got to have you. And, Lord, we need you, not just for being saved, but, Lord, I need you every minute, every step. And, Lord, I'm weak in mind, weak in body, weak in spirit, and ought not be in any of it. Lord, ought to be walking on cloud nine because you live in me. And, Lord, help me to use the power that dwelleth inside of me tonight, that I might proclaim your sweet and wonderful word, that it might burn in our heart, that it might burn in deep enough that we'll be doers and not hearers only. Lord, we're going to praise you for it all. Lord, cleanse me, I pray. Touch me fresh, and may you get all the glory. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, let's look at verse 4. Now, verse 4 is really going to matter even more tonight when we look at the servant part of verses 22. When we look at that, verse 4 is going to even mean more when we look at this, when Christ, who is our life. I cannot stress that enough. I hope you are getting that. I hope you've got that, that you ain't supposed to have two lives now, that you was dead. If you're a believer, if you're an unbeliever tonight, you're going to hell. You understand that? If you're an unbeliever, you're on the road to hell. You need Christ. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. That's what you need now. But if you've already received Christ, now that then everything is passed away. The Bible says old things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. You have a new life. Okay? Now, we know we have the flesh. We understand that. And we fight the flesh. But our life is new, for we are born again. All right? And this life is Christ. It's not just a life with Christ. Our life is Christ. Do you understand that? It's not religion. Does everybody understand that? We are not practicing religion. But we're practicing relationship because we have Jesus Christ. And the thing we've been learning is how we are to walk in this relationship. Does everybody understand that? That's what this is. These are not suggestions. This is a normal Christian life. The normal. This ain't super spirituality. It's not living at the foot of the cross. This is what every believer should be walking this way, and then better. This is what we're teaching is the baseline. Do I understand that? This is baseline Christianity, not super spiritual. Baseline Christianity. Why? Because Christ lives in us. And because he lives in us, he empowers us to be able to do this, okay? That's what we want to make sure. Everybody understand that? Everybody with me? So let's look. We're going to pick up in Colossians, and we're just going to go ahead and start in verse 17, and we'll read down through verse 25, okay? And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Now, I want to, again, make sure we understand verse 17 lays it all out, and everything here that we're supposed to do heartily as unto the Lord. Everything we're doing is as unto the Lord. Everything. Everybody understand it? Everything. Everything. And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And we already know Ephesians tells us to love our wife like Christ loved the church. Then it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing where? Unto the Lord. See, everything's still back to the Lord. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now that's your masters according to the flesh. Don't serve them or obey them in the flesh like that, but it's talking about these are your masters that are in the flesh. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Talk to me if you understand that. All right. We're not supposed to live fleshly. I don't want nobody to think that that's a play on words there. We're not supposed to live fleshly. That servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. All right? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So let's go back up now, and we see in verse 20, children obeying your parents. Now I understand there's no children up here as far as no little kids. We're not teaching to teenagers. We're teaching to adults here tonight, but we're still children. But we are parents, and we ought to be teaching our children to obey. If you don't teach your children to obey, you don't love them. I'm going to tell you that now. If you don't teach them to obey, you don't love your children. That's abuse if you don't teach them to obey. Because what you're doing, you're setting them up for a criminal record. You're setting them up for prison time. You're setting them up to have an abusive life, an abusive home. You're setting them up for nothing but sorrow if you don't discipline your children. And you got to train them to obey. They're not going to obey naturally because they come out of the womb lying. So they're not going to obey naturally. They have to be taught to obey, just like a pet. We'll send our pets to obedience school and let our children live like hell. And that is really stupid. Okay? So children, obey your parents. Now, when we think about this, children obeying there in verses 20 and 21, it goes on and says, and fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, all this will run together. So let's look at some scripture right to start. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. That's where we'll start there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, that is not a promise that everybody will be 100, but you'll live long. It's a promise that you'll live longer than what you probably should have. All right? Because people say, yeah, well, I know people that they was obedient and they died at 30 years old. Well, if they hadn't been obedient, they might have died at 12. Does everybody understand? So their time is longer. The promises of God are sure is what I want to make sure you understand. The promises of God are sure. Is everybody okay with that? Talk to me if you understand. All right. Now look at a proverb. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Now, when we get to kids obeying, everybody's going to have their own opinion, and they're going to say, well, I don't think you need to be rough, and I don't think you need to be so stern, and we're going to look at some scripture and see if that'll help you here in just a moment. But I want you to know the Bible will tell you how to raise your children. All right. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." All right. So, if we're taught right, which I believe if we'll instruct our children correctly, training up our children in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. Okay. Then verse 10 there in Proverbs chapter 1, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." They'll have something in them to not consent to the sinners. They'll be able to say no. Okay. Everybody look this way. If you teach your children what no means, then they'll not only obey the no, but then they'll learn it throughout their life. How to say no. All right. And Brother Rick has done taught us before that the two main things that's wrong with children today is they don't know their name and they don't know the word no. All right. And we know that they don't know their name. A lot of our church kids are not as obedient as some of those that ride the bus, because some of those that ride the bus know their name. And some of our church kids don't know their name yet. Because we can say, "Hey," and we'll call their name, whatever it may be, and after the fifth or sixth time, they'll look at you. I'm not being sarcastic nor smart-like, I'm just telling you the truth. They ought to be taught that when an adult speaks their name, they ought to stop and look at them and answer. And it ought to be, "Yes, sir," "No, sir," "Yes, ma'am," "No, ma'am." That's how it ought to be. Okay? And then when you say no, it shouldn't be, "It's not a maybe." No means no. Everybody understand that? No means no. But we don't like to say no.
I hate to tell no. I hate to tell no. They won't be my friend. They're not supposed to be your friend. Your children are not supposed to be your friend. They're supposed to be your children.
You're supposed to be their parent. You don't find where the Bible says for your children to be your friends. Okay? Okay. Proverbs chapter 22. Now, no, that's not modern day teaching. But I'm a dinosaur and I won't be here much longer. And then y'all can get you some liberal to wear a turtleneck and have a goatee and one of them fancy hats and sit on a stool behind a glass pulpit and teach you. But I'll be gone. And until then, we're going to teach you that you tell your kids no. Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it." Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, that don't mean, everybody look at me. This does not mean that if you train him and they go live like hell for 35 years, they'll get back right with God. That ain't what that verse means. If you train them right, they won't leave it. That's what the verse says. And we need to quit giving our kids license to sin, saying everything will be okay, and get the monkey off our back because we don't raise our kids right. What the scripture says? Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom." The rod and reproof gives wisdom. "But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." That's what the Bible says. Psalm 78. Psalms 78. Let's look at verse 4. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done." For establish a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might see their hope in God, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Can I tell you that teaching our children to obey and instructing them and discipline our children is not just in right and wrong, but it's in the greatness of God as we instruct our children and to praise the Lord. We need to teach our children to praise the Lord for the great works that he's done, the marvelous things that he's done. That they understand that the same God that done the miracles in the Bible is the same God that lives in their heart and will do miracles for them. And tell them about the miracles that he's done for us. And answers the prayer that he's done for us and the great things he's done for us. That the children grow up and know these things. I mean, I know I was not taught right all the time, but I was taught about the great exploits of God growing up and the miracles that happened in my family and the great answers to prayer of miraculous things that there was no other explanation other than what God did. And it increased my faith to where I can pray and have faith in prayer and know to live a certain way to see these things take place. Everybody understand. So when we think about these instructions, it's more than just don't touch that, don't go there, don't do that. It's what God has done. All right? And children, pray. Let's go back to Proverbs 23. Everybody still with me? Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Let's look at verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. We are to whoop our children. It ain't going to hurt them. They ain't going to die. They going to sound like they're going to die. I mean, they're going to scream and holler, but they won't. Not if you discipline them in. There is a certain place that God made to discipline the child on. They're on their backside. There's plenty of meat, and it won't hurt them. It won't hurt them at all. All right? It won't. All right? Let's drop down to verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. All right, we can get joy in all this. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. I want you to understand that these are things that's going to help us when we discipline our children. There's going to be joy in having children. We ought to raise our children. Listen to me now. We ought to raise our children that other people like them. Now, can we be honest tonight? There are some kids we don't want to keep. There are some kids that we're never available to babysit them. Never. Right or not? There are some kids we hate to see coming. Well, that's just truth. But we ought to raise our kids that everyone thinks it's a joy to see them. That's right, honey. You're exactly right. See? Now, that's the way they ought to be. And everybody wants to, and everybody passes the babies around. Right? But when they get very old, we want them to pass out. Huh? No, I mean, these are true things. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 19. And I'm not trying to be funny. This is just we're serious here. Look in Proverbs 19, verse 18. It says, chasten thy son while there's hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. When you discipline them and they're bawling their eyes out, let them cry. They'll quit. They'll quit. They may cry a while, but let them alone. They'll be all right. It ain't gonna hurt them. Huh? It ain't gonna hurt them. Sit down and cry with them. Yeah? When they cry, yeah. And they'll look at you right funny. Cheryl's getting on the dog this evening. She said, I can do that. And he barked and she barked. Wait, shut up. Huh? Well, kid will do that. The reason they cry is they want you to change your mind. They quit hurting 2 seconds after you discipline them. You know? It's what you... Time out. Time out ain't in the Bible. Just want to let everybody know. Now, you do suit yourself. I'm just telling you. Time out ain't in the Bible. Time out's on the ball field. It's not in the household. A good old-fashioned busting still help a child. It's okay to say amen. I know it's on Facebook. I know it'll be, well, people, you'll get in trouble for that. Well, they're my kids. Okay? And you say, well, I just don't believe in it. Well, then you rip that part out of the Bible. Right. Now, there is something here on the children. It's not just us discipline our children, but it's a call back in Colossians 3. It's a call for children to obey their parents, because we're talking to Christian kids here. We're talking to Christian families. We're not talking to the world here. We're talking to Christians. And there is a responsibility on the children's part. For underage who are still living in a home, there is a responsibility as a Christian to obey mom and dad. To respect and obey. That's what the Bible teaches. And they're supposed to do that. And that's a demonstration of their faith. And it's a respect for the sacrifices that mom and dad make. And it shows their new life in Christ. And it's pleasing to God. And it shows their submission to authority. If you let your children get by without obeying, then when they get into adulthood, then there's not going to be no respect for authority nowhere. There's not going to be respect on the job. There's not going to be respect at the schoolhouse. There's not going to be respect in the church house. There's not going to be respect when they marry. There's not going to be no submission to the husband. There's not going to be no love to the wife. If any of that is let go. And if a child is not taught to obey, they're not going to obey on their own. Now, there on the bottom of that front page, it talks about a connection with the fifth commandment. It says to honor your father and mother. That was the first commandment with promise. There in Exodus chapter 20, go back and read that. Now, let's go back and look here. It says, verse 20, children, we're on the back side of your page now. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now, this all things is what all things are lawful. Now, the children are not supposed to obey if parents want them to be illegal and do things like that, immoral, ungodly stuff. No. But we're talking, listen to me, we're talking to Christian homes here. They shouldn't be no ungodly rules. They shouldn't be no we're talking to Christian parents and Christian children here. So it's everything that's lawful. Does everybody follow me? Think about that. And there is limitations there. All right. We're not supposed to listen to anybody when it comes to commanding us to sin. Okay. But again, let's look at what's being written. This is Paul writing to a church. The Lord is telling a church how to live. So this is Christian people. Everybody understand that? Now, and it's the context of a household, When we look at this, children obey your parents. Is any child still living at home, huh? Unmarried, living at home, and they're under the authority of mom and dad. They're still under that authority. Does anybody understand that? Now, verse 21 starts out now. Is everybody all right with verse 20? For the well-pleasing with the Lord, we already understand it. Verse 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. When children are constantly nagging, now listen, this is how we are to live. We're looking at how to live with the Lord, how to live in the church. We're looking on how to live in the home. We're looking on how to live on the job. We're looking at how to live as a citizen, all these things. All right? And when we discipline children and instruct children, it's not to nag our children or criticize their children or treat them harshly or get mad and angry. We should never discipline our children when we're angry, because we're supposed to be angry and sin not. In fact, we're not even supposed to be angry. If you just be honest with me, he said, be angry and sin not. But I can't separate them two, so I'll just choose not to be angry. Is everybody okay? All right? Do you get mad? Why do you get mad when a kid spills a glass of milk accidentally? Why do you get mad? Why do you get mad? What's the purpose of that? When they're learning, chances are we give them too big a glass they can't hold anyway. Or put too much milk in it, they can't control it. It's usually our fault that they've done it, and we get mad at them. And we jump on them, and we call it disobeying, and call them stuff, when it's not. We're damaging the child. All right? There's no need to holler. There's no need to scream. And you say, well, you're the one to talk. Well, listen, I done told you, it's only a miracle of the Lord that my boys even know Lord. It's only a miracle that Marcus and Philip ever got saved. Huh? They should have run away from home when they was 12 years old. They should have. They should have went to the neighbors and just forsook us. Huh? Because we were horrible parents. And I'm trying to teach you not to be. Alright? Is everybody still okay with me? Now listen to me. When we're harsh with a child, they don't respect the discipline. They get angry also. Because they're like us. Everybody listening to me? Now, let's go back and look at Ephesians chapter 5. And you say, well, what's this got to do with it? Because, listen, there's got to be love and submission with mom and dad, or the kids ain't going to obey. Everybody hear me? If there's no submission by the wife and love by the husband, there ain't going to be no obedience by the children. If mom and dad live like hell, the kids ain't going to live like God. Huh? Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, back to chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we read again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, we've done looked at that over and over and over, and it's that likewise verse. All right, that's them likewise verses that we, as Christ was obedient to the Father, likewise the wives being subject to their husbands, and likewise the husbands love their wife and count them as the weaker vessel, at their prayers be not hindered. There's a lot of likewises there in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of 1 Peter, and we need to understand that Christ is our example. Are we okay with that? I understand that. Now, let's go back to Colossians just for a moment. I want to cover this. We're still running good on time. All right. When we think about provoking, how we provoke our children, it says, fathers, provoke not your children anger, lest they be discouraged. Okay? Examples of provoking is showing favoritism. Of course, you ain't got but one kid, there ain't going to be much favoritism. All right. But if you got more than one kid, there, if you're not careful, there's favoritism. There's favoritism. And you'll provoke, you'll compare. Won't you be like him? Won't you be like her? And that discourages the kid because they're not going to be like that because that's not who they are. Now, the rules don't change, right? I'm not commanded to be like Rick Childers. I'm commanded to be like Christ. I'm not commanded to be like Tim Lucas. I'm not commanded to be like Steve. I'm commanded to be like Christ. Then why would I make my kids, compare my kids? Philip, won't you be more like Marcus? Marcus, won't you be more like Philip? Why would I do that? Why don't I teach them to be like Christ? We still okay? Using harsh communication. Yelling, being sarcastic, and that smacks me in the nose every time. Speaking in a belittling tone. Huh? I mean, this is wearing me out. Huh? What about that next one? Being inconsistent. That's one of the worst things. Provoking our children to wrath when we're inconsistent with discipline and instruction. Inconsistency causes confusion in the child's mind. Huh? And that's on us. That's on us. Huh? Setting double standards. Don't you do as I do as I say. We ever say that to our kids? That's called hypocrite number one, big sinner. Giving orders. That's what that is. Don't do as I do as I say. Why don't mom and dad repent and do what's right, and maybe the children will do what's right easier? Huh? We still okay? Changing the rules. We don't like the rules to change. Yeah, we do. We want the rules to change. We want it wrong when it's on you, but when it's on me, again, let me buy with that. That's how we are in the church house. Huh? We still okay? Setting unrealistic expectations. Demanding more than a child's capable of. Well, I know you can do better than it. I know you can. Well, maybe they can. Maybe they can. Are they doing wrong by not exceeding your expectation? If they're doing wrong, then correct them. But are you just trying to make them you? I don't want my kids to be me. I know me. Amen, preacher. How many want their kids to be just like them? Anybody? Anybody here want their kids? I want them to be just exactly like I am. I don't want my kids to be like me. No, I want to be like him. We still okay? Ignoring. You ever ignore your kids? You say, well, how's that provoking him? By not listening to them? By interrupting them? You ever talk to your kids? We don't talk to kids no more. Kids don't even know how to carry on a conversation. They can't look you in the eye. They're too busy with a phone or some kind of device. Huh? They're going to be deformed. The next generation is going to be deformed. They're going to have humps in their neck. They're going to have long thumbs and humps in their neck. They're going to be all deformed, birth defects, because of what we've allowed our kids to do with phones and devices of some sort, and let that baby sit instead of talking with their kids. Now, I'll go ahead and say this, and it ain't going to be popular, but women have forgotten how to cook supper. And there ain't no supper time at the table. And dads and moms and children don't sit at the table and talk because of laziness and sports and too busy. It ain't because of work. And moms and dads and sons and daughters don't sit at the supper table and have a conversation and talk about the day and listen to the kids' problems because we're too busy trying to fulfill our sinful lives. And we give them a device to babysit them and get them out of our hair because the only thing we did was enjoy making them and we didn't want them after they was born. Because they're an inconvenience. Amen, preacher. Not listening, interrupting, dismissing their thoughts and feelings. You realize that children have feelings, don't you? Do you realize if they're saved, they're your brother in Christ or sister in Christ? Does anybody in here understand that? That if your children are saved, they're not just your children, but they're your brother and sister in Christ. And we're supposed to have a Christian fellowship with our children. Do we have a Christian fellowship with our children? That we can sit down with the Bible and pray together and read our Bible together and have a testimony together? Or do we provoke them to where they want to get out of the house and get out of the church just soon they can? Is that why we lose our kids at 18? Is that why? We still okay? Disregarding their needs. Now, a lot of times their needs are not met, and we help them at the church. But it's not just clothes that they need. It's not just food that they need. Huh? But failing to provide for their needs, being neglectful. And then sometimes we hurt our kids and provoke them into wrath when we overprotect them. When we don't let them wrestle with their playmates and get a bloody nose or a skint knee. Because when they grow up and get that, then they want to sue the world because they're not used to being hurt or injured or something happening. They think it's everybody else's fault. And you say, well, that's crazy, but that's what goes on today. We're raising kids now that don't know how to communicate, have relationships. And they don't understand that life is... Listen, life ain't fair. The Bible don't never say life is fair. It don't ever say it's supposed to be fair. The Bible don't teach that. And we need to communicate that to our children. Using shame and guilt. We provoke our children anger using shame and guilt. Embarrassing our children in discipline. That ain't how you discipline a child. Not with shame and guilt and discipline. Does the Lord shame us? No, the Lord does not shame us. And the Lord don't make us feel guilty. He takes our guilt away. But we want the kids to submit to us. But we're not going to be godly though. Is everybody understanding me tonight? And bringing up past failures. How many likes their failures brought up after the Lord's forgiven them? Huh? Using guilt trips to control them? Huh? Overreacting. Do we ever overreact correcting them? Huh? Like I said, they're correcting them for accidents or for things not their fault. Huh? I seen Dennis the Menace years ago on a cartoon. The daddy had got jumped onto in the office. And he come in and jumped onto the wife. And the wife jumped on to Dennis. And when Dennis went by, he kicked the cat. And his daddy said, "Why'd you kick the cat?" He said, "I don't know." And the reason he kicked the cat is because daddy come in, the boss jumped on the daddy, and the daddy jumped on the mommy, and the mommy jumped on to Dennis, and Dennis kicked the cat, and Dennis is the one who got in trouble. Everybody understand that? Now we're talking about getting along. Is everybody still okay? Unfairness and aggression. Huh? We're supposed to avoid that. Not to be problem makers for our children, but provide examples for our children, our daughters. Are we still okay? Huh? Taking out on our children for our own mistakes, for our own desires. We're mad because we get our children involved in things and then it becomes an inconvenience to us. And we have a bad attitude for our children. Because now it's an inconvenience on what we've got everything involved in. And there's no harmony in the home. Because we're not right with God down at the house. And all that comes back to the church house. We need to walk so as they walk in our steps, that it'll be profitable for them. For the Lord. Let's look at our paper we give you tonight. All right? Got a few minutes here. Got 5-10 minutes here. We can get in this. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in the singleness of heart, fearing God. And again, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. So let's look. We again see submission here. In verse 22, servants, obey. That obedience is submission. Again, we go back to wives submitting to their husbands. Husbands loving their wife is a form of submission. We've looked at church obeying the elders in the church as submission. We're looking at us as citizens submitting, obeying the laws of the land as submission to that. In Ephesians 5, it talks about submitting one to another. Everybody submitting one to another. We've got children obeying parents as a line of submission. All of these things is getting in line to be obedient unto God. Does everybody understand that? As unto the Lord. That's all of us. And none of us are exempt from this. None of us. Okay? Obedience is submission. The responsibility, listen carefully. The responsibility of a servant, it says servants obey. The responsibility of a servant is not to serve. That's not the responsibility of a servant. The responsibility of a servant is not to serve. The responsibility of a servant is to obey. It don't say servants serve. What does it say? Servants what? If it had been the responsibility of a servant to serve, it said, now servants, you serve right. It don't say that. It says servants, you obey. We still okay? Obey in what? Huh? Obey in all things. Obeying all things, our master's corner. This refers to all commands, rules. That's the part of the employer-employee relationship. Huh? Now you say, well, I don't understand that. Serving, and that's not my responsibility. Well, let's see. Look in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Speaking of Christ. You know, he thought he being in the form of God, thought an arbitrary be equal God. But what does it say in verse 7? But made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of what? And was made in the likeness of men. He took on himself a form of a servant. Now, did he just come to do good things? Is that the reason Christ come just to do good things? No, he come to do the will of the Father. He come to be obedient. Does everybody follow me? Look at it in John chapter 8. Is everybody with me tonight? Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can be a hard worker and be disobedient. You can be the best servant in the country and be disobedient and therefore be the worst employee. Huh? John chapter 8, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. He didn't say I always serve everybody else okay. He said I'm doing what the Father wants. I'm obedient to the Father. Are we okay with that? And then it says here in Colossians, servants obey in all things your masters. Not with eye service. You don't just work hard when your boss is watching. Any man that'll just work, any man or woman that'll just work when their boss is watching and don't when their boss ain't worth having. And I was always taught this, and it's not scripture, but I believe it to be right. If a man needs a boss, the boss don't need the man. If a man has to have a boss to get anything done, then the boss don't need the man. Everybody understand that? Because if he's obedient, everything's going to be okay. We still all right? Servants obey. Not with eye service. You don't work hard to get somebody else to say, well, that's good. You're a good. No. You please the boss. Huh? Now, not with eye service. Now, all work. Now, listen to me now. All work is service to Christ. I don't care whether you're shoveling coal, running an end loader, cutting timber, being a nurse, being a secretary, being a housewife. I don't care if you're a welder, a machinist. I don't care if you're a mechanic. It don't matter if you work in an office, if you run a print shop, if you run a barber shop, if you run a beauty shop, it don't matter if you're a doctor, a nurse, a musician. It don't matter what you do. All that we do is service to Christ because our life is Christ. I was told one time, well, I don't believe God's in the mining industry. I don't believe anything. Well, I believe he has something to do with everything. He's in the guy that pumps gas. Well, nobody pumps your gas no more. I pumped Cheryl's gas today, and I went to the window and said, yes, ma'am, can I help you with anything else? And that's the way they used to do when you ring and a ding, 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 and they come out and you clean the window glass. And I used to do that down here. Y'all remember the Pennzoil Station down here in the curve, down here where State Farm's at right there, where you say that? Years ago, I may have pumped some of y'all's gas. Years ago, I worked for old, what was his name? Herb Odell had that, and back in the 70s, I pumped gas on Friday evenings and Saturday mornings. I pumped gas and check your oil and clean your window glass, all for a half a bottle of pop. That was my pay. I got a half a bottle of pop on Friday and a half a bottle of pop on Saturday morning. That was my pay. That's what old Herb paid me. And that tickled me to death because I didn't get pop at home. But I was about 13 years old working for a half a bottle of pop. Huh? I was tickled to death. But that don't work nowadays. Nevertheless, you don't do it for all of our services to the Lord because Christians belong to Christ and all of our work is a form of work. It's not just ministry. Look at me. Your work for Christ ain't just teaching a Sunday school class. It's your life. Our life is Christ. Huh? Think about that. Our life is Christ. Everything I do is Christ. We still okay? Now, verse 23, we're going to have to hurry here. I want to hurry. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Now, this means every job with dedication, integrity, for the glory of God, not human recognition. Huh? That singleness of heart is we can't separate our life, a secular life and a spiritual life. Then verse 23, whatever we do, do heartily unto the Lord. Now I got there in bold type. A Christian ought to be the best employee on the job in every way. Always on time, never slack, always in a good mood. It's not right for a Christian to go on a job with a bad attitude and a bad mood. It's unchristian. It's unchristian. If you got to repent before you get to the job, fine. But you have no right as a Christian to be in a bad mood in front of others on the job. Don't work. And to not get along with anybody on the job, shame. On any Christian that can't get along with anybody on the job. I'm going to say that again. Shame on any Christian that can't get along with somebody on the job. Shame on any Christian that can't get along with somebody in the church. Shame on any Christian that can't get along with somebody down at the house. Shame. Amen, preacher. Why? Because it's the normal Christian life. Not a super spiritual Christian, a normal Christian life. All right, verse 24. Since our life is Christ, we're accountable to Christ. It says, knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive a reward. Can I tell you that we're going to be given a reward. We're going to be given a reward. We serve the Lord Christ. For ye serve the Lord Christ. I belong to Him. And everything I'm doing, I'm serving the Lord. And I'm going to be judged on how I was a machinist all these years, how I was a coal miner, but I worked for Dave Butler cutting timber. I'm going to be judged according to how I worked for Dave Butler when I cut timber for Shane Civi. I'm going to be judged according to how I cut timber for Shane Civi, how I worked for Jerry Fredericks at MyCo, how I worked for Jerry Fredericks at Ojai Mine Supply, how I worked for Jim DeVise at Ojai Mine Supply, how I worked for, Harley McClung at Metalcraft, how I worked for Daryl Keenan at First Big Mountain Mining, how I worked for the Joe Scaletta at the CUE, how I worked for the owners of Linotex Corporation. I'm going to give an account. Huh? I'm going to give an account. How I pastored Mountain Baptist Church, how I pastored Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, how I pastored Mountain State Baptist Church, because I was employed and worked. Are we understanding one another? Verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong. Just to show you, we'll read this verse and quit. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody still okay? I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm just wanting to make sure you're still with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Is that not what it says? It's what it says, ain't it? It's what it says. You say, well, that just means church. Where's that at? What verse is that in? Read me that verse. It don't say that. It says that we may receive the things done in our body according to he had done, whether it be good or bad. Look down at the bottom, the conclusion of chapter 3. This is finished. It's following Christ in these things. Personal purity is 1 through 10. Christian fellowship is verses 11 through 17. Following Christ in the home, verses 18 through 21. And following Christ as servants is verses 22 through 25. And that's chapter 3. The best I can give you in chapter 3. Now we'll start on chapter 4. We'll see you Sunday. Homecoming!